Blog Talk Radio.
El Shaddai, El Elyon, Adonai, is to wait your still faith by the power of the name.
From a Hebrew point of view, all we've been dealing with, what, the last 3 weeks? We had a break in the schedule for the last 4 weeks, I guess, about relationships. We talked about how do a person start a relationship? What was one of the first things to getting in a relationship with a person is getting their attention. Then we talked about courting. Then we got all the way up to what does courting lead to, which is marriage. You know what, and that's where we at tonight, what marriage lead to. We talked about some marriage last week too. So we'll be talking about what goes on in a marriage. What is one of Now, I wouldn't say one of the most important parts of a marriage, but a very important part of marriage is the sexual relationship. And you find that most spiritual or quote-unquote religious people, they're reluctant to talk about why. I have no idea, because the Creator made it. He made it in the sense to, so we could bring forth life through one another. And he also made it so we can enjoy it. If not, it wouldn't feel that way. It wouldn't feel that way at all. I don't know if everybody had, but there are some bad sexual experiences out there. But we want to read through the scriptures today and read some questions. Because we want to talk about this thing. We want to put this thing on the table. And we're talking in the sense of always from the Torah, first and foremost, and from a marriage point of view. Because if you're not married, you should not be having sex based on the scriptures. We're going to read some of those things today. We're going to start in Genesis 24, our very first scripture. 2:24, excuse me. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. We can look at that in many ways. One flesh in the sense of their, what we talked about last week, their accord in what they think and in what they do for the family. But also they recall how we truly become one flesh in the physical sense is through having intercourse with one another. So that is a part of the marriage, which is sex, becoming one with one another. So he says again, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. You know, there's a deeper teaching to that, but we're talking on a basic level today, on a very basic level, because sometimes a lot of us, we want to get so deep, and we miss the basics. We miss the small things. That's why you would have marriages that's 10, 15 years in, maybe 5 years in, and some this day and time, 1 year in, their sexual life is no good because we have missed and stopped doing the basic things. So we're going to move on to Hebrews. And y'all heard these before, hopefully. If not, this will be your first time. 13:4. Marriage is honorable in all. In every way, marriage is honorable. And again, we here, we are Torah-based. We believe in the whole scriptures. We are not talking about marriage between man and man or woman and woman. We're talking about what Yahweh just said. A man shall leave his father's house and take a wife. We ain't talking about he leave his father's house and go get John. No, that's not what we're talking about here. We ain't talking about two women. We ain't talking about two men. We're talking about what Yahweh has ordained and what Yahweh will sanction. And we'll see that in the future. He said that is honorable in all, in every way, that marriage is honorable. As long as it's done under the guidelines which he has set up. Again, we are Bible-based. I can't say that enough. So if you're listening to this and you're thinking that it's going to be about some old porn and all that stuff and we just talking some off-the-wall things, no. We're still keeping it in the guidelines of what Yahweh has given us. That should govern our whole life, even our sex life, even our sex life. And the bed is undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers Yah will judge. That means between a man and a woman, when they lay down, that bed is not defiled. Yahweh has ordained that. Yahweh has sanctioned that. For a man and a woman to come together and to be one. So between a married couple, Yahweh, he honors that. He don't honor nothing else outside of that. I don't care how long you've been with your significant other, how good y'all know one another. Y'all went down, y'all done got y'all test took, made sure neither person, y'all practice safe sex. It does not matter with them. If you're not doing it in the guidelines of him and how he prescribed it, it's not honorable. That bed is defiled. Let's move on. I'm going to 1 Thessalonians 4, starting at verse 3. And I ain't bring my glasses again. I keep forgetting them. For this is the will of Yah, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Again, this is his will right here, to abstain from fornication. Why? Because the bed is honorable in marriage, and that what sets us apart. Being married in the ways of the Creator, that sets us apart. That you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. That means, brother, sister, if you're not married and you call yourself a child of the Creator, a child of one who walks in the ways of the Creator, he says you should be able to control yourself. Don't go out fornicating, in other words. Control yourself in sanctification. Set yourself apart and honor. That is an honorable thing, to abstain from sex before marriage. That is honorable. Not the day, though. That thought right there, that verse right there, to the world is blasphemy. But to Yahweh's kids, it is an honor. It is an honor to be a virgin. It's an honor. See, we have to live outside of this box, what the world says. He says, be in the world, but not of the world. Not in the lust of consumptuousness, even as the Gentiles which know not Yah. Don't lust, family. That's what he's saying. And consumptuousness. Let me look that word up for y'all in case somebody don't know what that means. It's in your Strong's Concordance, the Greek section, 1939. It is epidomi, a longing, especially for what is forbidden. See, that's what a lust is. That's what lust is. When you're longing for something that is forbidden. That's why Yahushua said that he that look upon a woman have already sinned in his heart. Why? Because you looked upon that woman or you looked upon that man and you start longing, you start lusting in your heart. Start making plans saying, I want that. Because it is forbidden in the eyes of the Creator for man and the woman to come together before marriage. It is forbidden for us to have sex before we are married. So again, the marriage, it is honorable, and the bed is not defiled in the eyes of Yahweh. Let's move on. Now, this is a big one right here. This scripture. Yeah, this is one that I myself read over many times. I myself talked about many times with my Isha, with my wife. I done heard the brother say this a many times. I even heard sisters say this a many times. And I bet a lot of y'all know where I'm going at. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Now concerning the things wherefore you wrote unto me. This is Brother Paul, Brother Shaul. The Corinthians there wrote to him about these matters. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. And you have to understand why Brother Paul had that thought. And if you keep reading down, you'll find out after verse 5. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. Again, what we just read in Thessalonians. And let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence. Likewise, also the wife unto the husband. The wife have not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise, also the husband have not power of his own body, but the wife. In other words, if things are working correctly, because Brother Paul is speaking in the sense of you have two believers who are like what Yahweh said in the beginning in Genesis, have become one, not just in the sexual sense, but in the mental, in the mindset, in their thinking, in everything they do, they have become one. But today, and not just today, probably back in those days, probably that's why Brother Shaul had to write it. But in human nature, it's not always like that. It's not always that a woman is ready to give herself at every beck and call of a man. And contrary to popular belief, it's not always that a man is ready to give himself to a woman at every beck and call when she's ready. It's not always that case. But these are things that Brother Shaul are writing to us, as Abba Yah has always written to us, in hope that we'll grow into this. 5. Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and praying, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your inconsistency. That is a very powerful statement right there. The last part, you have a brother or you have a sister who is not getting something. It's easy for our adversary to slide in there. Why? Because this lust thing, this spirit that's on us, it's a powerful tool of the adversary. A very powerful tool. And you have to understand the passion that Brother Shaul is writing, Brother Paul is writing to the Corinthians. Please don't be like that. Wives, please don't hinder. Don't hold yourself back from your husband. Husband, please don't hold yourself back from the wife. But as I said in the beginning, it's not always like that. It's not always on green, on gold. We have a multitude of reasons why it's not always like that. A multitude of reasons. Some reasons it could be on the woman's, and some reasons it could be on the man. But we're going to get into that a little later. We ain't going to get into that part right now, no. We won't get into that. We definitely going to get into that. Let's move on. But that is a big problem, especially in marriages who've been some time. And then I'm going to speak from experiences and from observation. It's not always that a woman is ready to receive a man, always. In fact, it's some things that a man must do to prepare his woman for him. I mean, in that sense, I'm talking about her mind. See, we, as men, we are easily ready. I mean, that's no problem for us at times. I mean, not all men. There are cases where the woman desires more than the man. But they rare cases, you know, in our society. That's rare. That's not always the case. For the most part, a man can be intimate with his wife, and 20 minutes later, he'd be ready to go again. Not that woman. She's not made like that. Her makeup is not made like that. If it is, something is wrong with them wires. We're going to see. Let's move on. Let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs 5. And this is a thought that the Creator has given us so we can be honest with ourselves once some of this information come out. If you want to be a card with your mate, we have to, first and foremost, to be honest with ourselves. With ourselves first. Always going back to ourselves. If you want that. Proverbs 5:18-19. Let thou fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Understand, it is a joy for Abba Yah to see his kids married, and not just married, in a fulfilled marriage, and in a life-giving marriage. Because in one part he wrote that a brawling woman will have a man sleeping up on his roof. A contentious woman will have a man pulling out his own hair. Let her be as the loving kind and pleasant robe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And you have to wonder why he's talking to the man like this. Because we as men, like Yahushua said, our eyes wander for the beauty of women. But he says, your wife, let her ravish you with her love. Again, it's not always so in marriages. It's not always like that. Something is going on with inside Yahweh's marriages that we are not being ravished with her love. But we're going to continue to read. We're going to continue to open this thing up, because we're going to look at two people real quick, and we're going to see the love that they have for one another. And you know, this almost was like a soap opera love, something that somebody wrote down and put it on television, and you know, that's the movie of the week or the book of the year, and all the women love it because they learn for that type of love. Again, contrary to popular belief, men yearn for that too. Men yearn for that intimacy too. They yearn for that type of love too. We're talking about men who is connected with the Creator. We yearn for that too. Trust me. Song of Solomon 2:1-6. I am the rose of Sharon. And this is the Shulamite, the sister, and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the woods, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under the shadow with great delight. Under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. You have to hear, this is one of the most romantic, I wouldn't even call it a poem, writings of all time. It's much deeper than what we're reading, but again, we're staying at the basic words. We're just going to listen to the words, and we're going to comprehend English. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stayed me with floggings, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. Do you hear the intimacy in this? I mean, somewhere the basics in marriages have gone. The basics in our relationship, we forget, and I don't know how long this relationship has been, because majority of 90% of relationships start off like this. They start off with that, I'm so in love with you. I so adore her. He is the apple of my eye. So we're standing right here with the basics. Let's move on to Song of Solomon 4. We're going to go through 9 through 16. Thou hast ravished my heart. There, that word go ravish. Again, remember we just read in Proverbs, let ravish me with your love. Now, this is Solomon speaking about this woman. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. How many brothers see their spouse as their sister? That, to me, when I read this, when Alva took me here, that was the first thing that stuck out about that. See, that is that one, that two becoming one. Because if I first can see my sister as a daughter of Yahweh, then the basics will always be there, which is love her with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul. But somehow, some way, the basics is left. Thou hast ravished my heart. Let me start over. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thy eyes, with one chain of thy neck. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thy ornaments than all spices. Man, when you first come together with your spouse and y'all in the bliss of your marriage, y'all in the newlywed, what they call the newlywed, the honeymoon stage, in the perfume she wears, that perfume will stay in your nostrils. If another woman walked by, that's my wife's smell. I smell just like my wife. This is what this brother just said. The smell of thy ornaments than all spices. It's better than all spices. That smell that come off of my wife, I'm in love with that. My sister, I'm in love with that. I mean, it just gives me joy to hear that love. I'm telling you, once you get a chance to read and sit down and read the Song of Solomon, and Yahweh give you that true understanding of what he's talking about, beautiful. Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue. And the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. I praise your charges listening to the words. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits. Campfire with spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all of the chief spices, a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. Awake, O north wind, and come, thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Comprehend that, family. Just verse 16. And you'll hear the intimacy, the deep affection that these people had for one another, Brother Solomon and the Shulamite woman. The deep affection that they had for one another. We may ask, where in the world did that go in our marriages? what happened to our marriages that we don't have that. If you do, you are blessed. You are truly blessed if you have that in your marriage. Who dropped the ball, the man or the woman? We ain't asking for no answers. All we asking is to be honest with yourself. If you want a successful, a intimacy, full marriage. Because y'all, we know and understand that if marriage is not working right, I can't fully get out of that brother what I need out of him. I can't fully get out of that sister what I need out of her. Why? Because he said, a heavy heart stops the flow of the Spirit. I'm paraphrasing that. That's in the scripture. He understands when your heart and your spirit is not working in unison, it hinders you from doing his work. So, y'all, we need filled marriages. No matter what age or what stage you are in your marriage, keep with the basics. I have some questions that I got off, went and did this research, and I thought these were some very powerful questions. Thought it was powerful. We won't stop. We won't talk about these questions. We won't read them. And this is the part where you be honest with yourself. Because if we know anything, we know that we are spiritual beings. We know that we have the breath of life blown into us. We know that we have energies within us. Even the heathen know that we have energies within ourselves. And some energies people can feel, people will have some understanding of what's going on. You have a brother and sister, they come into the congregation, and you can almost tell what's going on with them by the energy that they portray, that radiates off of them. You know what's going on. You don't even have to ask. You can feel the energy. So we have to come into some understanding of the energies that's within ourselves. How are we two people who have these energies within ourselves going to come together and be one, and we're not understanding the energies that's on us? We know what we're talking about when we say energies. But we're going to keep that word there, energies. So you say that your wife, she's not giving you none. Maybe it's your energy that you come with. And she's rejecting that energy. You say, your husband, he's not giving you none. Maybe it's your energy. And he's rejecting your energy. Well, let's read this. Let's read what it says. Let's start with these questions. We need to ponder the divine wisdom in this. And this is in parentheses. Sex. Spirit energy exchange. How many of us know and understand that when we are having intercourse, that we are exchanging energies? I mean, I'm quite sure a lot of us know and understand that. But do we realize that at that time, the energies that's on us when we are coming together? When a man enters your womb, what type of energy and consciousness does he have? I thought that was a very good question. A very, very, very good question. When we are coming together. See, today, sex has almost become like a hobby. Almost like, you know, let's play a game. We get together for 5 to 25 minutes, all depends on the brother and the sister. and we sweat and we both climax, that's it. It's over. You get up, I get up, and, you know, we go about our way. Or we may just lay there and go take a shower, whatever we do. Not realizing the energies, the two spirits that just came together. And what was connected to those two spirits that just came together? What did they leave? Very important questions. Did these spirits leave with that woman? Or what did these spirits leave with that man? As the first question asks, what type of person is that person? Is he a conscious person? A person of understanding. And I would give that some time. I would give it at least to the age of 40 to come to that understanding that you're exchanging energies. At least you should know and understand that at the age of 40 about your sexual energies, what type of person you are. Maybe you don't understand that at under 40. And if you do, hallelujah. Yahweh has opened your eyes and gave you some understanding. Let's move on. Is he bitter? Can you imagine a bitter man, and we know bitter people, having sex or intercourse with his wife or, yes, his wife. What energy is transferring to the woman? If we know and understand that spirits jump from one person to another, and spirits are on us, what energies is he giving her? And what fulfillment is she getting out of it besides a climax? Is he happy? Does he love himself? Two things that he asks, two more questions. Is the man happy, and does he love himself? Are we being drained by our sexual partners? And if we are, we can change that just by owning up and coming to the truth, by being honest with one another. And a lot of us, when it comes to this part of our marriage, we don't want to be honest because we don't want to hurt one another's feelings. But I remember in back in the day that especially this is mostly for women that I heard this from, I ain't got time to teach a man. And I used to think that's crazy because if you the one want to be pleased by the man, you the one want to be satisfied. But the first thing come out of the sister's mouth is, I don't have time to teach a man. How can we come to that understanding in our marriage lives that we don't have time to teach one another? Yahweh told Abraham to hearken unto Sarah. And it wasn't just for that moment. Hearken unto her wisdom. But if a woman don't have time to teach her spouse, she's just being drained. Why? Because the fulfillment and the healing of Zemanid. Let's get back to the questions. Is he a happy man? Does he love himself? What happens to a person when they don't love themselves, but yet they have intercourse with another, with their spouse? Something is shut down within that person. So they're not getting the fulfillment of what Abba even intended through the sexual intercourse, because they don't love themselves. If they don't love themselves, they cannot properly love anyone else. It is impossible for you to properly love anyone else if you don't properly love yourself. I remember people used to say, you'll hear the saying that, I love you so much I'll die for you. And Lauryn Hill was, you know, which I like. She said, live for me. Don't die for me. Live for me. I like that. Does he love you? Now, what we have going on here, we have a bitter person. We have a person that's not happy. We have a person that may not love himself and just as equal. You don't even believe that they love you. Are we being honest with ourselves? See, this is the honest part. You want that great intimacy. You want them to become one. You have to be honest with yourself so you can move past that, so you can learn and grow, and you'll be writing scriptures like Brother Solomon and the Shulamite woman. You'll have poems like that. But how many of us are in relationships and don't even believe that our spouse loves us? How many of us like that? I mean, the thought is to be honest with yourself. And if you think your spouse don't love you, the question is, why do you think that? What is being shown that you think that your spouse don't love you? Is it the bitterness? Is it that they don't love themselves? I know for a fact that some people just don't know how to love. They don't know how. So everything is a surface thing. It's never deep down to the root, like we talked about last week. You have to go back into that childhood and have some understanding of how you was raised. And you'll, 9 times out of 10, you'll find it. Not let something traumatic happen to you in your adult life. Because 10, 20, 5, 10, 15, even from the jump, the spouse should never feel like you don't love them. I would say, if the spouse is feeling like that, then the spouse has every right to go to he or she and explain to them why I don't feel love from you. This is where I am lacking love from you. This is what I need from you. Remember, love is free. All love is a part of you. Remember, love is free. But if a person may not even know that you don't feel love from them. So how is a sex life with a person that you think that don't love you? How is that? Honestly, we're not asking for our answers. These questions for yourself. Because the goal and the object here is to become one. To become a better husband and wife for one another. How is it having sex with a person who you date that don't even love you? What happens to the person who is with a person thinking the person don't love them? How much they gonna give of themselves or will they just be there like a bump on the log? Like when my man said, I'm just here so I won't get fined. You know, I mean, spouses feel like that. Well, I'm just here so I won't hear the arguments. I won't hear, well, you ain't doing this, I ain't getting that. I'm just here for that. Wow, but the deep root, the thing that's underneath everything, you don't even love me, but yet you want me to lay down and open my legs. I don't even feel love from you, but you want me to lay down and open my legs for you every time you get ready. Haven't felt love from you for years, and that's another thing. How many of us are in marriages that we have not felt love from our significant others? A genuine, true love. Then how is your sex life going to be? Let's move on. Let me find my spot. Is he a positive or negative thinker? Wow, that's a deep one right there. A positive or negative thinker. And you have to think and understand all these questions that whoever this person was that wrote, I'm figuring they must have been going through. And sometimes, Yahweh, when we go through, we are able to write, and we are writing our feelings down. And, hey, you find out that there's a lot of people in the world going through the exact same thing. But there's some understanding with this person, too. Because these energies, a negative or positive person, you're laying down with, you're opening up to. That energy going to transfer to you? Okay. Now you switch it. When a woman makes love to you, is she blessing you or cursing you? When a woman makes love to you, is she blessing you or cursing you? And that can go back to what I just said. How she feel about you. Do she think you love her, or do she think that in your mind, if you're my wife, you're supposed to lay down and give me some? So if the love making for her enjoyable, or is she, like I said before, she like, what's the boy name? The Beast, the football player. I'm just here so I won't get fined. So what energy is she giving back? Is she better? Oh, he switched now. Because she could be the one. She could be the better person now. What energy is she giving you? Is it a job when you have to make love to her? Is love making to her, is it hard because of her attitude? Is she blessing you or is she cursing you? Because she's a bitter person. So it becomes a job to you. And after a while, you know what we're talking about in marriages, that's over time, and that bitterness. This is in both male and female. The sex life becomes far and few in between. You almost adapt to not getting it. Because it, you'll rather not get it than have to go through what you go through. And again, it should not be that way between marriage. That's why we started off. It's honorable. And the bed is undefiled. But if we have these energies within one another, how is your sex life? Is it bliss? Is it healing you? Or is it just satisfying your your flesh for a moment, because the true power of intimacy goes way beyond just releasing that thing, releasing seeds. Goes way beyond that. The true power behind a sexual relationship between a man and a woman of Yah. We will find out what the experience that Yah would want us to have. Is she happy? Again, because we as married people, and we understand the married vows and the marriage duty to please one another, but happiness, if it's not a part in pleasing your spouse, how was your sex life? And these questions you can ask yourself. You know for yourself. You know if your whole being is satisfied when you get up from your Isha or your Ish. Or is it like, oh, I'm glad that's over? You know for yourself. And you know, us men, we know we feel good for a moment. But once you get to a certain age, just coming to that climax, it's not enough no more. You know, I understand, you want to exchange your energy, your mind, with your Isha. For some of us anyway, I'm not going to say for all men. You know, some of us have not reached that maturity in our sex life. Does she love herself? Because, you know, the same questions apply to her. She may be a person who do not know how to love herself. So how is your sex life? If she don't know how to love herself, how can she properly love you and give herself to you? Does she love you? See, that's why I like these questions. Because it goes both ways. It's many men, I didn't talk to many men out here who do not feel as though the dead spouses love them. And a lot of it may have to do with sex. Man, if she loved me, she would go here and give me what I want. But there's so much more into that. I mean, it's not just that. That's just one thing. Some of men just don't feel love from their women, from their wives. They just don't feel it. Maybe the wife got comfortable with the man, and, hey, I'm here, so I just won't get fine. How are we going to live and serve Yahweh without the fulfillment of your spouse's love, without having a fulfilled relationship and a prospering relationship, not on the physical, but in the spiritual? How are we going to truly serve Yahweh like that? I'm not saying it is impossible, but I'm saying it's hard. It's very hard. You're so easily distracted. And the adversary can use so many different and come from so many different angles. So many different angles when the house is not right. When love is not the number one thing in your household with a spouse. When each other becomes granted, we take each other for granted. Oh, she'll be there. Oh, he'll be there. Oh, don't worry about it. He'll get it. She'll get it. Oh, I just got to give him some, girl, and he'll be all right. He may have at me right now. I give him some, and it's over. He'll be all right. But not understanding what else, what other energies have connected in that time of absence from one another. Now, the party starts all over again. So you got to get rid of the negative energy. Y'all got to start all over again. I mean, I didn't even realize how deep that was. Just in intercourse. You started sitting down, you started going through things yourself. I'm like, oh my goodness, is that deep? But we don't realize that until Yahweh brings it to our attention. We think we're just going along and get along. And a lot of us are miserable. Does she love you? Is she a positive or negative thinker? The same exact question. See, they go both ways. It don't just go for him or just go for her. It goes for both of us. We both have a role to play in this marriage. And hopefully we're not saying that I'm here so I won't get fine. That we see one another and want to build a beautiful sex life. Let's finish up. Sex is a ritual of exchanging energies, emotions, spirits, and spirits. During sex, you become a spiritual sponge for the consciousness and energy of the other person. How many of us understand that right there? We absorbing everything with this other, our spouses, has. You know, some of us, we may have had a bad day. We want to come home and we just want to get in bed and we want to release. And for a lot of us, that's a way of, I'm getting rid of it. I'm getting rid of my bad day. Why? Because I'm having some intercourse and bam, I'm going to come to my climax and I feel good for a moment. But those energies, you didn't transfer it to your spouse because we did not come home. And honestly, there's nothing wrong with that. It's a wrong way to come home and do it. But if you come home and things are set up the right way, intimacy is taking its time and we're not just coming home and re-rushing so we can come to our climax. Bam, and it's over, but it's a time taken. It was some thought put into it. Because you never know the day that your spouse had. And that's what we're there for one another. Because what better time to come together when you're having some messed up dates? If there's love, if the proper love and understanding is there for one another, and you're not just there so you won't get fined. If you have love for your significant other, I have an older brother, you know, when I was younger, he used to talk to me a lot. And one of the things that he always told me was, please your woman. And she'll have no problem doing anything for you. And he was talking about almost everything, but, you know, this was a guy who, he was much older. He always tried to give us wisdom. So I was one that listened. You mean sexually. Because it's like, you know, a lot of brothers, you know, they get in and they bam, they gone already. The woman, she just sat there and she left. He said, but if you please her first and you tend to her needs, the sky's the limit for you. My rabbi said it like this, the one that passed away. He said, women are like flowers, and you are like the sun. If you shine on that flower right, it will open up. It will blossom for you. But if you don't sound on it right, it will stay closed. And that's when she's just there, so she won't get fined. So if it's done right, with the right mindset, that woman will open up to you. That flower will blossom for you. Her garden will be ready for you. But if you just go in and try to cut the grass without even trimming it, without doing nothing, it ain't gonna open up. You have to get that garden ready for you. And the garden starts with her mind. If you don't get the mind started, you can kiss her goodbye. She did just so she won't get fired, like the brother said. But we're talking about a great sex relationship. I wish I had a sister that would be able to go back and we can conversate about this. Maybe we'll open the lines one day and we'll have an open discussion about this. If y'all would like that, write. Send me a text and we'll have an open discussion about it. If you're honest, let me finish. During sex, you become a spiritual sponge for the conscience and energy of the other person. Each pump and each thrust is an affirmation. Are they draining your life force and your energy, or are they recharging? You ever felt drained in the sense of unfulfilled after sex? I mean, we ain't saying nobody got to answer no questions. We just asking questions, and we're asking for honesty. Unfulfilled after sex. That's what this brother is talking about. Are they draining your life force and your energy? And he also says, or are they recharging, healing, and refilling your spirit? Y'all feel that after sex? Those things? If you haven't, don't you want that? If you're in a marriage, don't you want that? Nobody wants to be in a marriage and not feeling that. Don't nobody want to feel drained as it's a chore, as it's a job when I got to lay with my spouse. Something wrong with that. Oh, God. Let me go do this. Sorry, I'm getting it over with. Understanding what the writer is saying, how you're being drained, how your energy, your spiritual energy, are being taken away. Are they leading you into an unfulfilled, low-frequency energy? Negativity, depression, and destruction, or are they elevating you into a higher frequency of love? Love, life, and bliss. Be mindful of the true power of sex. Be mindful and master how your sexual energy is being exchanged and received and returned back to you. Sex should be healing, powerful, and rejuvenating to every part of your being. I wholeheartedly believe that. I wholeheartedly believe that. Why? I believe, as Brother Paul said, he speak by permission. That's how Abba Yah intended it to be. He understands the physical, but he also lives in the spiritual and can see what the act that he created can do for human beings, can do for a marriage relationship. It would never be a negative. Yahweh wouldn't create a negative for his people. I remember my rabbi, you know, that was my road dog. He was my partner. And you can get some knowledge out of him. All you had to do was take some chicken around his house and, you know, his favorite beverage. And you'll sit there for hours and y'all will talk about everything under the sun. Because that's how he viewed the word of Yahweh. That's how Yahweh have showed him his word. It's a conversation. Yahweh's word was a conversation for him. So it was easy for him to talk to people about Yahweh's word. Why? Because we all conversate. It's just what we conversate about. So he was able to take Yahweh's word and put it into a conversation where you really didn't understand that you was talking spiritual. But he knew he did. He knew and understood where he was taking it. Because he says there's always a point A and a point Z where you want to take a person when you're talking to them. You can direct that conversation when you have the wisdom of Yah. And we ain't talking about that tonight. But what he said was, a man and a woman can become intimate, but they can come so entwined with one another. So he's talking spiritual. That there are neither male nor female there. And when he told me this about 10 years ago, man, you talking about a sponge, somebody who sat there and ate that up, and just sat and thought about that day in and day out, and wow, where do your spirituality and do a oneness have to be till you get to that point? When you with your spouse and y'all so entwined in the moment that neither sex are there, is there. I want that. I want that. Have not received it yet, but I still want it. I'm still working on it. That's an accord right there. That was a wisdom that the Creator showed him. Why? Because that's how the Father and Son come together. Spiritually. Remember, we spiritual here. We talking word. We are Torah believers. So we ain't in left field with our words. We ain't talking worldly tonight. So that's a oneness between the Father and the Son that he gave us. So a married couple can understand that. And how we understand it is when we get so entwined into one another that there's neither sex there. Wow, and I just thought, wow, you know, I'm like looking up in the sky like I'm going to see it. You know, that's why I was like, wow, that thought just blew my mind. But a lot of the things that we're talking about tonight, something has to take place first. I remember asking the person about making love to spiritual music. Oh, no, I wouldn't do that at all. Please, not at all, no. And there's a lot of the problem. We don't involve Yahweh in our sexual matters. No, Yahweh, you too holy. You can't come in this sexual matter right here. You don't belong in this. And he said, man, I created it. I gave it to you so you can have some understanding. We and our carnal thinking and, you know, and our righteousness, which he called the filthy rag, No, we can't bring Yahweh into this. We can't bring Yahweh into this. And you know, amongst the Jews who practice Judaism, what they say on the Sabbath Eve, that's one of the best times to come together. You know, I'm agree with that. Because it's Sabbath. And you become unholy once, you know, the compilation takes place. Once the semen comes out, you already unholy right there. We can't even get up and go to service. So, you know, that's out the door. No, that's a no-no. No, you don't. But that's what they believe. They believe on Sabbath Eve, that's the most holiest time that you can come together. I say they've been hoodwinked, bamboozled by Hasatan. Because if you do come together during that time, you're unclean. And you can't go to service because by the time the next sunset, Sabbath old. But what I do believe, you invoke the Creator in your marital relations. The sky's the limit. In fact, there is no limit with the Father. You want to become one? Invoke Him in your sexual. Bring Him in. Be praising. See, but listen to our carnal thinking. We will put on some lupo. We will put on some good music. I mean, whatever you did back in the day, we all did it. Candlelight and some music. Wow, because we set the mood. We set the mood. So we got the candlelight, we got the music going, maybe even got some little yay and some wine on the side. We got the mood set. We in there come out. Because, you know, those three things involve spirits. The music, the wine. So why not, if you a couple that's married with under the banner of Yah, do that with Yah. But to a lot of us, that's unthinkable. We have not even came to that understanding yet that we can do that. We can invoke Him in our sexual life. Now, let me finish this up. Yeah, go ahead. Be mindful of the true power of sex. Be mindful and master how your sexual energy is being exchanged, received, and returned back to you. Sex should be healing, powerful, and rejuvenating to every part of your being. Again, I truly believe that. Done right, like I just talked about, invoking Yahweh in that marital relationship. The bed is undefiled, Yahweh says. And marriage is honorable, He says. Come on now. We can set the mood in the world. We can set the mood through Yahweh too. So much more. Try it. Try it. From a cellular level to your organs, to your mind, to your mind state, and to your spirit, that is the true power of sex. When done right, is therapeutic medicine. That's very true, Grandma. It is a spiritual act. Excuse me. Whether you believe it or not, it is a spiritual act. Why? Because you're two people becoming one. And when emotions get involved, when feelings get involved, just think about that. Think about an emotion or feeling. What can happen with emotions and feelings? things can go the wrong way at times. Things can get out of hand when emotions get out of hand. But think when Yahweh is keeping these emotions in check, when these feelings are in check, when your spirit is in check, where will you go in your sexual life when you invoke Yahweh in it? But again, we have to go back. All those questions that the brother asked. Are we happy? Do our spouses love us? Is our spouse a happy person? Is they a bitter person? Are we blessing or cursing one another through our sex, sexual life? These questions that we have to ask ourselves, we have to be honest with ourselves. You want to become a more fulfilled and have a more fulfilled relationship with your spouse? Sit down and be honest. Because we're talking about relationships, and as we started off 4 weeks ago, this relationship parallels to the relationship with the Father. It parallels. The marriage relationship parallels with the Father. We know and understand the relationship between Yahushua and Father Yah. He says, make them one as we are one. Now, if there's some interruption in our oneness, we have a problem. Yahweh wants to fix that. I want to thank y'all for your time. Prayfully, Yahweh gave y'all something out of this because I got something out of it. You know, in those questions, I got to go and self-reflect on myself. Very good questions. Because at the end of the day, we all want to be happy and fulfilled. And Yahweh wants us to be too. To seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all else will fall unto you. Shalom, family. Thank you for your time.
All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs.